The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
And I quote, "For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power." For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. That's what the president said. Saturday, the conclusion of his trip over there, Saturday speech in front of the Royal Castle in Warsaw, Poland. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. Is that a call to regime change? It sure sounds like it, but who knows anymore when it comes to the president of the United States, Joe Biden, who's 79 presently. He'll be 80 in November. And at this press conference he did yesterday, he had, did you see the pictures yet? He had all these cheat sheets, right? Here's what he's supposed to say. Here's the questions that you're probably going to get. Did they know him in advance from some of these news organizations? Air quotes, I'd say probably a good chance that they did. It was all, you know, a little show, but not from somebody like Peter Doocy at Fox. President Biden held a cheat sheet of prepared answers for a key question during his White House news briefing on Monday. A question about his remarks on Saturday, which looked like he wanted a regime change in Russia with Vladimir Putin, right? Several reporters asked the president to address his comment. "For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power," which he made at the conclusion of Saturday's speech there in Warsaw, Poland. Biden insisted he is not walking back his comments. "Are you walking these back?" "No, I'm not walking them back." Seeking to separate his wish for President Vladimir Putin not to be leading Russia from an official policy that would seek to remove him. Well, who's in charge? Isn't that a loaded question anymore? "I was expressing my outrage at the behavior of this man," Biden said, calling the Russian president's behavior outrageous, and that his comments about him were more an aspiration than anything. So he's got these cue cards, right? "If you weren't advocating for regime change, what did you mean? Can you clarify?" The anticipated question reads, these are on the cue cards. I'm looking at a picture of them. "I was expressing the moral outrage I felt toward the actions of this man," Biden's prepared answer reads. "I was not advocating a change in policy." The cue cards also included a lengthy question regarding NATO and a brief scripted response from Biden. "No, NATO has never been more united." Fox News White House correspondent Peter Doocy asked Biden about the Putin remark. Listen to this, along with two others. This is just bizarre behavior. "Are you worried that the other leaders in the world are going to start to doubt that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back?" Doocy asked. "Just in the last couple days, it sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon. And it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia," Doocy noted. "None of the three occurred," Biden responded. "None of the three. You interpret the language that way." "What?" "We were talking about helping train the Ukrainian troops who are in Poland," the president said. When Doocy pressed him, Biden added, "I was referring to meeting with and talking with the Ukrainian troops who were in Poland." Doocy asked, "And when you said that chemical weapons would used by Russia would trigger a response in kind, what do you mean by that?" "It will trigger a significant response," Biden said. "What does that mean?" Doocy pressed him. "I'm not going to tell you," the president added. "Why would I tell you? You've got to be silly." Biden insisted that if he told Doocy what the response would be, then Russia knows the response. Which normally I would say, okay, I understand that makes sense. You don't want to tilt your hand and let the enemy, in this case, Vladimir Putin or Russia, see what you're thinking. But is the president of the United States thinking clearly at all? Like, what's going on here? Because that was the thing he had. He was speaking with American troops, right? And he was telling them about these incredible people over there in Ukraine. And he said to them, you'll see for yourself when you're there. And people were like, what? What did he just say? There was that. And then he was talking about Russia. If Russia uses a chemical weapon, we'll respond in kind. Well, what does that mean? That means if you slap me across the face, Will Smith, I'll respond in kind. I'll slap you back. Right? Get it? If you throw a baseball at me, I'll respond in kind, which means I'm going to throw something at you. So when the president of the United States, formerly leader of the free world, says, if Russia uses a chemical weapon, we will respond in kind. I mean, even for me, a guy that went to a Big Ten university and got a master's degree, it's not like I'm the smartest guy on the block. Even to me, I'm like, that sounds like if they use chemical weapons, we'll use them too. And you are the president of the United States. That's not very complicated language. He's not capable of using complicated language, right? So do we need a regime change in America? Are you getting to the point, and I got a couple of other articles here, that you're worried about having a man like Joe Biden? He's 79 presently. He'll be 80 in November. He's obvious. I don't know if it's dementia. I don't know if it's Alzheimer's. I don't know what's going on there. It might be just the fact that he's almost 80, and he's like most men his age, are losing many steps mentally and gets tired easily and so on and so forth. Are you worried? Do you think he is a problem? Do you think he's dangerous at this point? Is this a 25th Amendment situation? Or do you think, hey, Steve, relax. Hey, everybody gaffes. Even the president of the United States gaffes. They make mistakes. Nobody speaks perfectly. I've listened to you, your show. You misspeak sometimes, too. Yes, that's correct. I do. I would say I probably misspeak every day. But there is a significant difference. I'm not the president. Right? I'm not the president. So are we coming into a 25th Amendment situation, which in case of the removal of the president from office of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president? Section 2, whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the vice president, so on and so forth. Section 3, whenever the president transmits to the president pro tem in the Senate and all that kind of stuff. So you use this and you get into Section 4. Now you start reading this and you go, okay, this is how you actually can take the president of the United States out constitutionally. If he's removed from office, if he cannot do the job. So do you think he cannot do the job? Is Joe Biden becoming dangerous, not only to us in America, but to the whole world? Do we need to seriously consider, should we be praying for the enactment of the 25th Amendment? I've got a couple other stories, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. So please give me a call, 866-348-7884, to share your thoughts. Should the president, is he getting to the point? It's just flat out dangerous. We need to get him out of there. We need a regime change in America via the U.S. Constitution. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Do we have to be praying at this point somehow that God would just get Joe Biden out of the White House? And if you get Joe Biden out of the White House, 25th Amendment, whatever, then Kamala Harris? What's worse on the world stage right now? Would it be Kamala Harris, who's just doesn't, her driveway doesn't quite make it to the street? She's a little gaffe factory as well. The woman's just not impressive at all. And that's why she was the first one out of the Democrat primary back in the day. Remember, just a couple of years ago, she was the first one out, never even made it to a primary state to get the vote. She was just the first one out. Total train wreck. But we're going to get a new Supreme Court justice for the same reason, female and of darker skin color. So that's why she got chosen to be the vice president. No virtue signaling there at all. So, you know, don't be so judgmental, everybody. So. Well, you get Biden out, you got Kamala Harris in, but Biden's remarks and the way he's handling things and his lack of cognitive sharpness, he's going to be 80 in November. The guy's losing it. I really don't know anybody that doesn't think he's losing it. And I think there's a whole lot of Democrats that would think he is losing it, but they're just not willing to say it in public. But what do you think? What do you think about the president's cognitive ability and all these gaffes? Is he dangerous now? Like internationally dangerous. What do you think the deal is? Should we be praying for the 25th Amendment? Should we be praying that the guy somehow steps down? Get him out of there. The 25th Amendment is not capable of leading. And then you get Kamala Harris. My goodness. See, this is like a no-win situation, right? What do you think about this? What do you think about the president and all these gaffes at an international level? 866-348-7884. Are you worried about the cognitive decline of the president of the United States? Or do you think he's fine? That's, if you want to take that position, you think he's fine, you can do that. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe you think he's just fine and we're just being a bunch of right-wing wackos and just don't like the guy. So we're going to say whatever. All right, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Biden's remarks on Putin stirs anxiety among Western allies. Well, that's a bit of an issue. President Biden's remark that Russian President Vladimir Putin cannot remain in power came under fire from muddying U.S. policy and threatening to undermine diplomatic efforts. Yeah, we know that. Julian Smith, the U.S. ambassador to NATO, said on CNN's State of the Union that Biden's comments were a principled human reaction to the stories that he had heard that day, meaning he's just emotional. It's an emotional reaction. So cut him some slack. On Sunday, in response to a reporter's question, Mr. Biden denied he was seeking regime change in Russia. Still, his remark, which Moscow dismissed, marked an escalation in Mr. Biden's verbal attacks on the Russian president after previously calling him a butcher and a war criminal. Mr. Biden's aides, who were caught off guard by his comments, scrambled to play down their meaning and impact, but White House officials said they still believe Mr. Biden's trip and speech was a success. It reminds me, this was David Petraeus, former CIA director and retired four-star general. It reminds us that a message discipline has its virtues. No kidding. Senator Jim Risch of Idaho said Mr. Biden's comments were a horrendous gaffe that undermined an otherwise well-crafted speech. Quote, I think most people who don't deal in the lane of foreign relations don't realize that those nine words that he uttered would cause the kind of eruption that they did. He said that to CNN on Sunday. This administration has done everything they can to stop escalating. There's not a whole lot more you can do to escalate than to call for regime change, he added. That is not the policy of the United States of America. Please, Mr. President, stay on script. My question is, does he even have the ability to do that? Meanwhile, a close American ally, French President Emmanuel Macron, worried that Mr. Biden's comment Saturday and calling Mr. Putin a butcher would also complicate diplomatic efforts, you think? Quote, I wouldn't use this type of wording because I continue to hold discussions with President Putin. We want to stop the war that Russia has launched in Ukraine without escalation. That's the objective. European diplomats warned, too, that Mr. Biden's comments could threaten Western efforts to help lines of communications keep them open. Wow. Are these people, maybe let's just ask the question this way. Are you going to put an age limit on the president of the United States? Donald Trump's 75. He's going to turn 76 in June. Is he too old in 2 years? He's going to be 78. It means he'd be 82. By the time he finished up his second term in office. Is that just too old? Do you think we need to have an age limit? You hit 70, you hit 75, you're done. You can't run. You know, if you're in there, if you get in before then, okay. But what, you can't run if you're 75 or older. You can't run. How? What do you think about that? Do you think we should have an age limit? An upper age limit, the lower age limit for the president versus an upper age limit. 35 versus what? Should we have an upper age limit? Maybe that's the issue here. But then if you're going to say 75, then Trump won't be able to run because he'll be 76 in June. 866-348-7884. I think this is a serious issue. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to, is it Celia or Sella? I'm sorry, I can't make out your name on the screen.
It's Sella.
Sella. Great. Thank you so much for calling, Sella. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, my opinion, just the way I feel, I have not benefited when Trump was in office. Neither am I benefiting on any type of level with Biden as well. To me, both of them have been an embarrassment, just my opinion. And I do hope that at least the ones that may, you know, go for president, yeah, they need to be younger. But if they're not going to do an age cutoff, then they definitely need to do more medical exams, especially
yeah.
cognitive
yep.
things. And once you don't pass, then it might have to go to the vice president. It needs to be something because these offhand, comments that he's making, and you can't even put anything together. That's embarrassing, and I do think it makes us look weak as a country. Continued
yeah,
to be from the Trump administration. So that's just my thought.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Sella, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. Do you agree? It's embarrassing, definitely. I have no disagreement there. I'd go way beyond embarrassing, though, to dangerous. In this case, I think it's dangerous. And what do you think about that? Do you think we should have a cognitive test? This is like driver's license things, right? Some people get a driver's license. I'm like, how did they get a driver's license? They're like 88. Make them pass a cognitive test. Do you actually think Joe Biden could pass a cognitive test right now? Wow, Steve, you sure are. Yeah, you call yourself a Christian. You sure are. That's ugly. You're being ugly. You're being disrespectful. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful. I pray for the president on a pretty regular basis. I care about his health. I care about the fact that I don't think he should be in there. I actually think it's unloving that they ran the guy because he's not capable of doing the job. I think that's obvious. And then you just don't treat people this way, especially somebody that's going to be 80 in November. A cognitive test. I like that. And that you have to pass a cognitive test. Let's just be truthful here. But that kind of shoots the whole thing in the foot because they had to run somebody that basically was a non-issue because everybody in the election, in the 2020 election, everybody was a Trump voter. Everybody. You either voted for him or you voted against him. I really don't know of anybody that was excited to vote for Joe Biden at 78 years of age to be the next president of the United States. Not a single person. It wasn't about Joe Biden. It was always about Trump. But a cognitive test, what about an age limit? 866-348-7884. Where would you put it? How old is too old to be the president? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. All right, what do you do with these old men? And God bless you and all of our senior citizens. I'm not attacking you directly, but there are some of us that get to a certain age. No offense, but you should not be the president. You're too old. Is that the deal? Or should it be a cognitive test, as a few people have said? Just a cognitive test because you have Donald Trump at 75. He's pretty sharp. You certainly don't have an energy problem there. You may not like his policies, but is the guy capable mentally and physically of doing the job? Clearly. I mean, the guy's a machine that way. So you got a guy at 75, so maybe the age limit isn't quite the answer. Maybe it's the cognitive test. And then how do you administer to it? I say you administer no matter what their age is. I'd say, well, you know, once you hit 65, 70, I think 70 is probably the number I would go with, that mandatory and full public disclosure, anybody that wants to run for president, or if you're 68 when you're the president and you hit 70, you got to take cognitive tests, and you got to take one, what, every 6 months? I'd probably be okay with that. Because if you get some kind of early onslaught of some cognitive issue, Alzheimer's, something horrible like that, that can come on pretty quick. And you got to know that with the president of the United States, especially in this case, who's on the world stage dealing with somebody like Vladimir Putin when you've got nuclear weapons potentially involved. Okay, this is a very dangerous situation. And to have a cognitively compromised man like Joe Biden at 79, he'll be 80 in November, out there on the world stage is dangerous. This is like going to Vegas. Just grab the dice, blow a little hot air on them, and throw them down the table and see what happens. I think that's literally what's going on here. I think it's just got to be really careful with this age thing. I think it's a big issue. Plus, yeah, Tom, great point on Facebook Live. He's traveling great distances. He's skipping time zones, right? One time zone, another time zone. He's over there. That's tough. That's tough on you if you're 50. That's really tough on you if you're 79. And he has problems over here, too. So is it an age issue? Is it a cognitive issue? It's definitely dangerous. 866-348-7884. 866-348. 7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And phone lines are lighting up, so I'm going to jump over there here in just a second. We're going to get some names on the screen, and then I'll take calls. But I had another article here. Thanks, Bill Mann, from a guy on Substack. It's a very long article, but in the second half, he starts talking about he's dealing with Biden's reckless words underscore the dangers of the U.S.'s use of Ukraine as in a proxy war. Okay, so he's talking about a much bigger issue, but then he gets into Biden's cognitive problems and how this is a serious issue. Okay. And all of those pre-existing dangers are, in turn, severely exacerbated by an American president who so often is too aged-addled to speak clearly or predictably. That condition is inherently dangerous, made all the more so by the fact that it leaves him vulnerable to manipulation by the Democrat Party's national security advisors, who will never forget 2016 and seem more intent than ever on finally attaining vengeance against Putin, no matter the risks. Speaking to U.S. troops in Poland on Friday, a visibly exhausted and rambling President Biden, after extensive travel, etc., appeared to tell U.S. troops that they were on their way to see firsthand the resistance of Ukrainians, meaning they were headed into Ukraine. It seems clear that this was not some planned decision to have the U.S. president casually announce his intention to send U.S. troops to fight Russians in Ukraine. This was instead an old man, more tired, unpredictable, and incoherent than usual due to intense overseas travel, accidentally mumbling out various phrases that could be and almost certainly were highly alarming to Moscow and other countries. That is a problem. Let's go to Martha, who's calling in from Raleigh on this age issue. Martha, thank you so much for calling today. Go right ahead.
Well, hello. I am listening to the program on the radio and was a bit concerned about your comments of this. You redeemed yourself, I would say, when I heard a little bit later what you were talking about. People, there are people who are over 80 who are well qualified, and I believe Trump certainly is in that category. My own father and my father-in-law lived to be nearly 90, and they were absolutely sharp as tacks. And to they probably didn't have the energy that Trump has. Well, he has the energy of more than most 40-year-olds have.
That's certainly true. Yeah. Well, so do you think at all, Martha, that it could be a cognitive issue, that maybe we don't worry so much about their age, but we should start cognitively testing them when they get older just to make sure they're mentally on their game? And the physical part is not nothing. I mean, these guys have an incredibly crazy schedule. So if you're so old that you could have a sharp mind, but if you can't handle the schedule, I think that could also be an issue.
Well, it's obvious that Trump had the physical and the mental capability. And if you look at Biden's schedule, most of the time he has one meeting a day.
Right.
Now, his trip to Europe has not been that way, but we've also seen the gaffes, and not just gaffes, but serious blunders that he has made. And who knows whether that's because of added physical strain. And if you remember, Trump was made to take a cognitive test, and he absolutely aced it.
Oh, yeah.
When the idea of taking that test was presented to Biden, he had not so nice words to say about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got a two-tiered system for criterion as far as our leaders are concerned.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and I think those are all great points. Martha, thanks so much for calling in today. I appreciate it. Let's go to Brian. He's calling in from North Carolina as well, talking about Biden, talking about presidents in general, about age, about cognitive ability, because at this point, what Biden's doing, this is just flat out dangerous, not just for America, but predominantly for Europe. And so that's why a lot of them are nervous about this. And a lot of us are nervous as well. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brian. Brian, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. Thanks, Steve. I just wanted to say, you know, just listening to everything Biden's done and said, you know, I speak from a perspective that I voted on both sides of the fence, you know, per se. Mm-hmm. But Biden should not be in this office. You know, I don't think there's any question about that from some of his policies. You know, some I don't know if they're true or they're hyperbole with, like, you know, when they were saying passing out needles or something I saw on the internet. Crazy to me to even think about that. But what he's saying right now, it's like, and this is something that I had a pet peeve with President Trump, with some of the things he would do, where you may think something, but you shouldn't say it.
Right.
And,
<Yes.
laughs> you know, and the fact that he thinks it, says it, and then it's like he forgets he says it, or I don't know. But it's just crazy. And I think whatever president that we have next should be able to manage themselves in a way that I don't believe in being a part of the system, but be able to handle themselves in a room with the system.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I think that's a great point, Brian. I appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right. And 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And again, that's, you know, obviously, just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. And especially at that level, it's one thing when you're talking about domestic policy, okay? There's not a whole lot of harm that can be done there. Now, when you're talking about domestic policy, that's fiscal policy and energy policy, that could have an effect around the world. But if it's USA-only things, okay, fine. You want to gaff every once in a while. I gaff on the air, whatever. But when you're on the world stage and there's an active war going on, holy moly, that's a problem. And cognitive test, age things, I think all of that is an issue. It should be an issue. We should make it an issue. And Congress should make it an issue. That would have to be a presidential, that would have to be an amendment issue to change the qualifications for the office. But I think I don't think it would be too difficult after all this mess to pull that off. And certainly somebody should propose it because we have people in there that Joe Biden at 79, he'll be 80 in November, clearly is not up to the job. I don't think he's up to the job physically. He's not up to the job mentally. I've got some other issues with that, but I want to get to our caller here first. Mercedes calling in from North Carolina. Mercedes, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't know that Joe Biden's main issue is age. I think that man is just arrogant and condescending, and he doesn't have a good temperament to be the president of the United States. And as far as age of the president, well, we had Ronald Reagan. He was very elderly, and he did a great job, I thought. So I'm not so sure about that whole age thing. With Joe Biden, I think he is dangerous, and he could do our country a lot of harm if he, you know, doesn't clean up his act.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with somebody like Ronald Reagan, he was 69 when he started. Okay, as president,
yeah,
he was 69 when he started, so he's 77 when he finished. And by the end of that, you know, there was, I think, some legitimate concerns that maybe he was slipping a little. But starting at 69 and starting at 79 are two very different things. And I think you make some great points, and I'm right there with you. Thanks so much for calling in,
Mercedes.
Yeah,
and I really think that maybe we're lucky that he is as old as he is, President Biden, because he may be worse if he were younger.
knowing his
temperament.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've heard that enough. I agree with you 100%. Thanks so much for calling. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back after this. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Steve Noble Show, a very serious subject today as we're looking at what's going on with our President of the United States, Joe Biden, who's 79 right now. He'll be 80 in November. Donald Trump is 75 currently. He'll be 76 in June. But there's a world of difference between those two guys. Forget policy, forget party, forget all that stuff. Just the way they operate, the energy level, their ability to talk on the stump, on the fly, and just to think quickly. And Joe Biden acts like he's 25 years older than Donald Trump, or we could say Donald Trump acts like he's 25 years younger than Joe Biden. And that's just a reality. Set aside your politic for a second, just in terms of energy level and sharpness and on the fly. And you could stick Donald Trump in a room with 100 people on live TV and he'll be able to handle it. But Joe Biden, that's why it never happens. That's why it didn't happen during the election. That's why they control it now. That's why he's got cue cards. I was looking at these. He's got these little cheat sheets in his press conference yesterday. And here's the potential questions, and here's your answer. Now, should the quote-unquote leader of the free world in the middle of a war situation between Russia and Ukraine, should he be in such a cognitive state that he needs several pages of notes in about an 1822-point font? No, that's not good. Let's go to Gabrielle, who's calling in from Raleigh. She was calling in from Raleigh. She's not anymore. Okay, if you want to call in and want to chime in on this one, cognitive test, age limits for the president. Are you worried about the impact of President Biden on the international scene right now? I certainly am. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Back to this one article. This was in Substack by Glenn Greenwald. He's talking about a bigger issue in terms of the U.S. using Ukraine as a proxy war and how U.S. the United States has approached Putin and Russia over the last several decades. But now he's talking more about Biden's gaffes. Okay, that's what he's kind of moved on to here. That Biden gaffe about U.S. troops headed into Ukraine could generate exactly this sort of misperception seems self-evident. So do the grave dangers from Biden's sudden yet emphatic declaration on Saturday that Putin cannot remain in power, the classic language of declared U.S. policy of regime change. That clear declaration of regime change as the U.S. goal for Putin was quickly walked back by Biden's aides, who absurdly claimed he only meant that Putin cannot remain in power in Ukraine and other parts of Eastern Europe, not that he can no longer govern Russia. What? That is such a bad excuse. That's so lame. Really? You're going with that? What he really meant was that Putin can't remain in power in Ukraine. Is he in power in Ukraine right now? He is not. He's trying to be, but he isn't. So it doesn't make any sense on its face. But this episode marked at least the third time in the past couple of weeks that White House officials had to walk back Biden's comments following his clear decree that U.S. troops would soon be back in Ukraine and his prior warning that the U.S. would use chemical weapons against Russia if they used them first. Remember? We'll respond in kind if Russia uses chemical weapons. That Biden seems to be stumbling and bumbling rather than following scripted recklessness seems likely in some of these cases, but not all. The White House's vehement denial in the wake of Biden's speech that regime change in Russia is its goal was contradicted by Ferguson's reporting in Bloomberg last week. Reading this carefully, I conclude that the U.S. intends to keep this war going. This is really pretty frightening thought here. I have evidence from other sources to corroborate this. The only end game now, a senior administrative official was heard to say at a private event earlier this month, is the end of Putin regime. I gather that senior British figures are talking in similar terms. There's a belief that the UK's number one option is for the conflict to be extended and thereby bleed Putin. Again and again, I hear such language. It helps explain, among other things, the lack of any diplomatic effort by the US to secure a ceasefire. That's a really powerful point. It also explains the readiness of President Joe Biden to call Putin a war criminal. Whether deliberate or unintentional, these escalatory statements, particularly when combined with the U.S.'s escalatory actions, are dangerous beyond what can be described. As an Australian news outlet reported on Sunday, Russia has launched a missile strike near Poland in what appears to be a deadly warning to the United States. Whatever else is true, the U.S. and Russia are now in waters uncharted since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Even the savage U.S.-USSR proxy wars of the 1980s in Latin America and Afghanistan did not entail these sorts of rapidly escalating threats. A Russian president who, validly or not, feels threatened by NATO expansion in the region and driven by questions of his legacy on the other side of a U.S. president with a long record of hawkishness and war fever, which is now hobbled by the carelessness and infirmities of old age, is a remarkably volatile combination. As former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoukas put it on Saturday, quote, a U.S. president who, during an atrocious war, does not mean what he says on matters of war and peace and must be corrected by his hyperventilating staff is a clear and present danger to all. Wow. Let me read that again. So this is a former Greek finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis. I think I'm saying that right. This is what he said on Saturday, quote, a U.S. president who, during an atrocious war, does not mean what he says on matters of war and peace and must be corrected by his hyperventilating staff is a clear and present danger to all. And he's not primarily talking about us back here in the good old U.S. of A. He's talking about Europe, like all of Europe. And so this is alarming. It's annoying. It's alarming. It's sad. It goes to show the corruptness of the whole system. That going back to the presidential election, that the guy never came out, hardly ever came out in public. He's not going to take a bunch of questions from the press. He's just not tested at all, not vetted at all. They just hit him, basically. You know, and he'd had those silly little rallies and there'd be 25 or 30 cars. It was ridiculous, but we just go right down the lane. Why? Because you hate Donald Trump? And so you put a guy in office who's obviously cognitively disadvantaged. I'm trying to be nice. And losing his marbles because of his age. And again, I mean, to several of your points, I'm not saying that every older person is incapable of doing a job like this, but most of them are. 70, 75, 80, you're losing a step. And if you have a mom or a dad, or if it's you and you're like, not me, baby, okay, fine. That's awesome. But if I'm going to give you the presidency of the United States as an American citizen, I have a right to test. We have a right to test the cognitive ability of older Americans that want to serve in the most powerful office on the planet. That's legitimate. That's a legitimate concern. Oh, well, Steve, you're dissing older people. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that to diss older people. I'm just a realist. As Rush Limbaugh used to say, he called himself the mayor of Realville. Yeah, okay, I'm with you there, Rush. This is just being honest. This is being smart. This is being wise. And so in this case, we have a very, very dangerous situation. And it's not going to get less dangerous. It's not even going to stay static. Because as Biden ages, it's going to get worse. And we're only what? Not even a year and a half into his presidency. And what comes next? Well, we want Biden out and Kamala in? Wow. Kamala out, Nancy Pelosi in? Double wow. This is a bad situation. And maybe, ultimately, one of the ways I think God judges a nation, and he did this with Israel, he just says, fine. It's like the old Burger King commercial. Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way, right? Fine, have it your way. You don't need me. You think you don't need me? You don't need my word. You don't need my wisdom. You don't need my spirit. You don't need my favor. Fine. Knock yourselves out. And guess what? We always do. That never goes well. A nation, a business, a community, a family, an individual that casts God aside from our perspective never goes well. Never. And we're in that situation now. So let's put our money where our mouth is, or our prayers where our mouth is. Let's actually, would you join me? Let's just pray for the guy right now, because we're commanded to do that anyway. Father God, we come before you, Lord. We thank you that we live in a nation, although with a spotted past like all of us, has also done some amazing things and has been an amazing success story, but also at the same time, heartbreaking in so many different ways, far from perfect. But Lord, we are commanded by you and your word to pray for those in authority over us so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. And when we have somebody that we believe to be mentally impaired, probably because of his age, we don't know, Lord. You know every detail. You know every hair on the man's head. You know every thought, every feeling. You know exactly what the deal is, what the situation is. So we intercede on his behalf, Lord, because his health, mental and physical, matters because of his position. And so we just intercede on his behalf, Lord, that the man needs help, it appears, certainly from our perspective. So we pray for him, pray for his mental acuity, for his physical health, Lord, for wisdom, for wise counsel from people that bow their knee to you. And we pray your mercy on our nation, although we have no right to ask for it. We pray for your involvement with this Ukraine-Russia mess. We pray for miracles and an end to the situation over there, Lord. And I guess I just want to pray that you will restrain the damage that can be done by our president's challenges, mentally and otherwise. Lord, help us to be wise and help us to build our house on a rock and not on the sand, and to trust Christ and to be kingdom-minded. But we do pray for our president, intercede on his behalf, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, keep that up, friends. Your prayer for the president shouldn't just be, you know, when this wacky guy on the radio does it. We all need to be praying for him regularly, and it should be pretty obvious at this point that it's a big deal. Not just for us as Americans, but around the world. This is Steve Noble. This is The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.